Okay, here we are again. I was telling Barbara Lowe's, who's up here, it's been a long time, but it sure seems familiar. So. Now, here to kick off this morning's session for our welcoming ceremonies, on behalf of our 2022 convention host affiliate, the National Federation of the Blind of Louisiana, here's Pam Allen.
Good morning, my Federation family, and welcome to New Orleans. Laissez le bon temps rouler.
Okay. So. Okay. Handing out Mardi Gras beads. Okay.
All right. Welcome to New Orleans.
Dwayne, go back there.
All right, welcome to New Orleans, National Federation of the Blind. We are thrilled to have you with us. All right, how you feeling? All right, my name is Daryl Durham. I'm the executive director of the Treme Artists Collective, and we are thrilled to have you in our city. We're going to move very quickly. We want to thank the Jackson Square All-Stars. They'll be back in a little bit. And I just want to put a little a little plug-in. That's not the only music you're going to get today, because tonight my soul band will be playing at your dance, so please come out. We're going to really hit you with some true New Orleans soul and some old school soul. I know you're going to love it. But right now, I'm going to ask my friend Kalinda Marie Laveau, who is a representative of our cultural bearers of this city, to give you a little demonstration and talk a little bit about what it means to be from New Orleans. Go ahead, Ms. Kalinda.
Good morning. So I'm Big Queen Kalinda Laveau, and I am a Mardi Gras Indian, or a Black Indian, and I've masked with Yellow Pocahontas, I've masked with Guardians of the Flame, and right now I'm a renegade queen, but I also have my own group called Mystic Seven Sisters. And these suits that you see, we like to call them suits. We don't really call them costumes, because they are a part of our regalia. And so everything we do is one bead at a time. And it takes about a year to make a suit. So for people like me, only I sew my suit. But when people wear larger suits, they may have the help of the family or the neighborhood to make these suits. And so we bead one bead at a time, and we come up with different designs and different stories for our suits.
All right, so tell us a little bit about the suit. What do the beads represent?
So the beading, this is just a part of the masking tradition. And as we bead, we basically put spirit inside of the suit, because as you're beading, you're meditating, you're putting your energy inside the suit, you're putting your intention inside the suit.
And the feathers?
The feathers, well, this is kind of giving reverence just to the tradition. So when we talk about the tradition, some people will say we are paying homage to the indigenous traditions here in America. And for others, they'll say we are paying homage to our African ancestors. And both of those masking traditions use feathers.
And how long does it generally take to make a suit?
It takes about a year. Some people may start a little early, or if you're like me, I'm last minute. So I probably get it done in about 6 months.
All right. And so we're going to ask Ms. Kalinda Marie Laveau to send us out with a little homage to the spirits.
Mare Kudifayo in your red, in your red. Mare Kudifayo in your red, in your red. We are the Indians, Indians, Indians of a nation. Whole wild creation, no, we won't bow down on that dirty ground, because I love to hear you call my Indian red. Mare Kudifayo in your red. Indian red. Take a look at a big queen, big queen, big queen of a nation, whole wild creation. No, we won't bow down on that dirty ground, because I love to hear you call my Indian red. Jacquemo Fino, high, Ohio, high, Ohio, Ohio, high, Ohio, Ohio, high, Ohio, Ohio. Oh, my Indian red, oh, we kill them dead. Oh, how I love hear you call my Indian red.
All right, let's give it up for Sister Laveau. Woo. Thank you. You guys have been wonderful. I look forward to seeing you tonight. I'm going to turn it back over to Ms. Pam Allen.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's hear it again for our Jackson All-Stars and our Mardi Gras Night, our NOLA Soul Collective. And we are celebrating the culture and the heritage and the diversity of our great city and of the National Federation of the Blind. And now, for a brief cooking demonstration, I know everyone has been enjoying the delicious food all week. And so I want to introduce from the New Orleans School of Cooking our Chef Harriet.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to my hometown, La Nouvelle Orléans. Truly, truly, it's great to see everyone here. What I'm going to do this morning is to make pralines. And when you're leaving, I hope you can smell it. I have to look away and get everything up to par. Here we go. In the pot that I have on my burner, it's only 6 ingredients. Begins with about 6 tablespoons of butter, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 4 ounces of whole milk, 1.5 cups of pecan pieces. You can leave the pecan halves whole if you want. And after the pecans, I have 1.5 cups of white sugar, and 3/4 cup of packed brown sugar. All in the pot, my burner is on, and everything has melted. Now I'm stirring my pot. I don't have to do it all the time, I can stop. I'm cooking my syrup, and this is important, everyone. I'm cooking the syrup to 240 degrees. Check your thermometer. But I have another test that I always use. I don't count on the thermometer alone. I use 1 cup of cold faucet water. And I'm going to put a little bit of my syrup when I feel that it's ready, when the temperature reader, your thermometer, says 240, maybe 238 to 240. I'll drop a little bit in. And at 240, if it is 240, I should be able to make a small bowl. The cup has water in it. And as I push the syrup together, it will make a very small ball. 240 is called the small ball. You know, what can I say? So here we go. It looks as though it's ready. When you make enough batches, as we do at the New Orleans School of Cooking, you can feel it. You can feel the syrup getting thicker. So I'm going to give it a try right now. And I'm just going to take a little bit out. I try not to get too many pecans. I just want to get the syrup. So I'm dropping the syrup, a little bit of syrup, into this cold water, and I'm making a ball with it. Be careful, because you don't want to burn yourself. And I have a small ball that I've been able to form in my fingers. So I'm going to cut it off. And now what's very important, I have to cool this syrup down. Because if I don't cool it down, I'm not going to get a praline that you can pick up off the paper. And I learned how to do this. I'm 81. So, I only said that. I didn't mean for an applause. Of course, sometimes I can't believe I'm 81. You know, you're only as old as you feel. But to be honest, I've been making pralines for at least 70 years. Because that's how I learned. Summertime in New Orleans, we learned how to cook. We learned how to embroidery. Some of us learned how to sew. I never could sew. It was an impossibility. But I didn't learn how to cook very well. So what I'm doing, I'm stirring my pot. I have the handle, it's tilted, and the reason why I'm stirring is to let the syrup cool down. Not an awful lot, but it has to cool. And I would ask my grandmother, how long do I have to stir? Because my grandmother was famous for her 1-hour ruse, and I could not see me doing this for an hour. But anyway, she would say, until the pot talks to you. And by that she meant the wooden spoon, and use a wooden spoon. It doesn't conduct the heat. If you use a stainless steel spoon, honestly, that stainless steel is going to conduct the heat from the syrup, and you're going to burn your hand. So be very careful. And I can hear that soft rubbing between the spoon and the bottom of the pot. So now I'm going to drop my pralines. And I'm just putting my spoon in and pulling pralines out. And this is, you try to go as fast as you can, because remember, the syrup is cooling off. And as it cools down, it turns into a solid. And you want to try, anyway, to get as many pralines out of this pot as you can. Keep them airtight once they cool down, and they will stay very fresh, with that original flavor for about 3 days. But let me tell you, they never last 3 days. Never. Trust me. But when my children were in school, this was my go-to gifts at Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter. I would put them up in little bitty plastic bags and put them in an attractive box that I could pick up someplace, probably TJ Maxx, or there's some place out there, and I can't remember the name, but and just give them out as gifts. Oh, God, I can't remember. Now I can remember how many gifts I was making every year. And honestly, they don't go bad. If they lose that freshness, have a sweet potato bar. Baked chicken, sweet potato bar, green peas. Crinkle them up and use them as a topping for sweet potatoes. You know, just think about it. Can't go wrong with pralines, honestly. There you go. So this is it. And we have pralines for each and every one of you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's
Thank
so
you.
Kind.
Thank you
now,
so much.
I'm going to give you some variations, and I have to make it quick. I know everyone cannot eat nuts. We have nut allergies today. My oldest grandson, Ben, has a terrible nut allergy. When I make pralines for Ben, I use a cereal in place of the nuts. I don't put the cereal in the pot to cook. When the syrup reaches that magic 240 softball stage, I take it off the fire, I take it off the heat, and before I stir it to cool the syrup down, I add a cup and a half, the same amount of pecans, to the pot. And the cereal I use is Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Rice Krispies. And I don't cook them because it cools my syrup down quicker when I put the cereal in last. The syrup really will cool down. You want to make chocolate pralines? Chocolate pralines, all you need is one half cup of chocolate pieces. And again, I put and what kind of chocolate? Semi-sweet. Now, I've made white chocolate pralines, I've made milk chocolate pralines, and semi-sweet chocolate pralines. Sometimes with that semi-sweet chocolate, I'll put a teaspoon of peanut butter in. So now I have a Reese's.
Now, and Chef Harriet, we want to thank you. I'm sure everyone can smell the delicious pralines cooking. And so let's give Chef Harriet a round of applause for all of her.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
And we thank the New Orleans School of Cooking. I know some members have already taken advantage of the great classes there. And we will, on the way out at lunch today, a little lagniappe, a little something extra, as we say in Louisiana, have pralines for everyone. So thank you, Chef Harriet. And as we conclude our welcoming ceremonies, I want to introduce a very special person who I know you'll love to hear from, a leader of Tamara from our Louisiana affiliate. Here she is to tell you a little about herself and to welcome you to our great city.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Orleans. Or I could say Nouvelle Orleans, the Crescent City, or the Big Easy. I hope you have enjoyed all the rain. And best of all, the heat and humidity. No, I'm just joking. I mean, the food, and most important of all, the beignets. These are my favorite. I am really happy and excited to hear all the white canes tapping on Canal Street. What a great awareness. Oh, oops, I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Nardis Karimipour. I am 10 years old and in fifth grade. This is my first national convention. I have been with NFB for about 3 years. After joining NFB, so many great things have happened. With all the help and support of my wonderful teachers, I have accomplished so much, such as I won second place in the Braille Readers Are Leaders. I won first place in the Louisiana Braille Challenge. I was a finalist in the National Braille Challenge in California. I have met so many wonderful people at the NFB. My favorite event is the Bell Camp in Louisiana. It is a lot of fun. We also learn many skills and how to be an independent blind person. Braille has impacted my life in a positive way and has helped me gain literacy and independence. Conventions like this is the best place to start and meet many blind people and learn from each other. I always like to end with this. Blindness is not a disability, but a different ability. So believe in yourself and follow your dreams. Have a great convention and time in New Orleans. And don't forget to try the beignets in Cafe Du Monde. Braille rocks!
That was awesome.
Thank you, Nadjus. And you can see that we are in great hands in the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you, and welcome to New Orleans.